The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Our system of providing energy in the United States is so archaic that I like to joke that some of the tools that are out there still were installed by Thomas Edison. I mean, people do not understand that you can't ask for all these electrical cars, all this movement to EV and ESG and all that type of stuff, and yet the ability to deliver it, we're seeing, you know, state of California saying that they have to have brownouts because they just can't meet the increased demand for people now charging their cars. So there's a whole host of problems that the war, unfortunately, I think, brought to the surface that were always there, but was not being seen by everyone.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's good to be with you today. Thank you for joining me. That was Peter Grandage, the former Wall Street whiz kid, and you know, we often tap into him on Fridays just to give us an analysis of what has happened in terms of market movements, the economy, inflation, a whole litany of other things. You know, one of the stories I had seen, and I want to get his take on, and you're probably experiencing this right now. I mean, inflation right now, we are looking at, you know, higher costs for everything, right? Your gas, your food costs, cost of services across the economy. They rose at a 7.9% annual rate in February. It's the fastest pace in about four decades, right? They're continuing to climb. So what happened? Some people are saying, look, I need a raise. You know, they're afraid to ask for that raise because they don't want to lose their job either. I think things are going to get a little tougher before they get better. Here to give us some perspective on that, and also today to do something a little bit different. You know, my producer Maggie was saying to me, she says, you know, Peter comes on the show all the time, and he often references, you know, his conversion or, you know, his journey. But I don't really know the story. I wonder if everybody knows it. Sometimes I take for granted the fact that because I've known Peter for a while that everybody knows his story. He wrote a book. It's called Confessions of a Wall Street Whiz Kid because he had, you know, accurately predicted the rise and the fall of the market for a lot. And then when he had his conversion, he experienced everything from depression. He made millions. He lost millions. When faith really became central and he realized that's what this life is all about, he actually redubbed that book to Confessions of a Former Wall Street Whiz Kid, and he changed his business practice. He decided to go ahead and to say, you know what? It's not about how, you know, how much money we can ultimately make. There's nothing wrong with money. But really, I want to practice the gifts that God have given me, especially his expertise in finance. I want to help people in their Christian walk through that. It cost him a lot of business, unfortunately. It did. It cost him. He dealt with some, you know, high-profile sports figures and others. But I think Peter is building his eternal reward. And I think God also has ways of surprising us in life. When we give to God, when we're willing to sacrifice, when we're willing to walk on water to get out of that boat and to trust the Lord, he'll reward you in ways you can't even imagine. So here to answer your questions today, to give us a quick update on where we are, both as a nation and with markets, economies, inflation, and so much more, as well as to hear a story, is Peter Grandage. Peter, good to have you back. Thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you, and thank Maggie for thinking of me today, and it's always an honor. I don't think people realize how gifted it is to have a place like Relevant Radio. Things you've allowed me to share over the years if I said it when I was on many of the financial networks, I would certainly not be invited back. I was told a long time ago, I could put a rock on the door, I can put a bull on the door, but I can't put the picture of God on my door, and that's when I knew that Wall Street and its secularism and me and where I felt God was leading to me had to go in a different direction. And like you said, about halfway into my, you know, almost 39-year career is when I made the change.
Yeah, well, I want you to share your story. Before we do, just a quick update right now. Where are we in terms of market moves right now? The major indices, the S&P 500, NASDAQ were down. I think the Dow was up a little bit. Overall, week-wise, how did they do? Where are we in terms of inflation? And, you know, how are you reading the wins?
Get under your pillows. Hide under your... Next question. No, I don't want to make light of a very dire situation. Look, as you know, and again, I know that some people listening have not heard me before or aren't aware, last year I did perhaps the most aggressive, bearish thing one could do. I made a decision, and, you know, I shared it with people that still want to listen, that I was felt we were in, not only, and I wasn't alone in this, that we were in the biggest financial bubble of all time, but a perfect storm of social, political, and economic factors had come together that I felt was going to lead to the worst period of time for America. So I sold all stocks except things related to certain markets, related things like uranium and copper and gold. And if you remember, I took a very high, unusual choice of selling all bonds. And I told you when the long, the 10-year was down there 1%, I said the surprise in 2022, Drew, is going to be bonds are going to be a worse performer than stocks. And it was like people like, you know, that wow. just doesn't happen, Mr. Grant. No. I'm sorry. And whatever you're smoking over there in New Jersey, you might want to stop. But the end result was the first quarter of this year, we saw the worst bond market in over 40, performance of bonds in 40 years. So unfortunately, we're just beginning this perfect storm. I wish I could say to you that, yeah, as bad as things are, in a couple weeks or a couple months, my vision is going to be things are going to get better. No, I unfortunately think things are going to get worse. And what's really accelerated it, and what brought a lot of things that were there, but they weren't either being looked at or considered, was unfortunately what's taken place in, with Russia and Ukraine. Yeah. And now what we're facing is a situation that, to some who take into, visions and what people have had is, we are looking at a worldwide potential food crisis, unforeseen and not really thought of by almost anybody, but now really present. And it's simple. The ability to plant and grow food is greatly hindered because much of what we need to do that comes from that area of the world, and it's been held up. And it's not something you can delay. You can't say, okay, look, 6 months from now we don't have anything. Okay, we just plant 6 months from now. No, this is the planting season. So not only is the wheat and other things that were needed were not being harvested, but all the things that make fertilizer, potash, and all this other stuff is also being greatly hindered from coming from. And then we look over to the Far East and we look at China, a place where really we didn't realize until COVID hit how much we have exported our day-to-day needs to be made and delivered by other people other than us. We didn't see that until COVID hit, and then we started to realize that all these things, drugs, all this stuff that we always assumed, you know, was readily available was dependent on a place coming from an area that's not exactly best of our friends. So the combination of all of this, and now on top of all of this, I'm afraid, we're going to see an expanded political issue grow with not only the viability of the president's ability to function as a man, but also potential problems for things that might have occurred with him and his family and all on top of everything else. And so I just can't make an argument. I would like to, believe me, this doesn't create business. It takes away business having this type of attitude. But it is, as you said earlier, a belief of mine that I was called to do this, irregardless of what it meant from a financial standpoint. And I wish I could tell you things better, Drew, but I can't. Yeah.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I have great reservation about the fact that fertilizer costs have gone through the roof. I've seen several farmers they've said, you know, they're going to switch crops because it's just too expensive to grow the crops that they're currently growing. We are going to see possibly, at least throughout Europe and other parts of the world, food shortages. I don't know what we're going to see here in terms of what that will mean and just in terms of costs. Then you couple that. You've got food. You've got the shortage there. We've got still some supply chain issues. And then there's, inflation continuing to tick upward. Do you see a recession happening? Is that an inevitability? What about stagflation? What do you see coming in, let's say, the next 6 months or before the end of 2022?
Only God knows the future. So I gave up, as you know. That's why I don't like to use the word whiz kid, because it gives an assumption that somehow I have some special skills or gifts. I might have, after almost 40 years, developed a better guessing method than others have. But no one really knows. But all things suggest that the economy is going to grow very weak, that it's not going to be able to withstand and not have the ability, as it had for a lot of years, of a Federal Reserve just printing money and propelling a very small group, the top of the pyramid, while many, many people below got hurt. So my answer to you is, A, we're going to have stagflation. Yes, we're going to have a recession faster and harder than most people think. But I also bring out one other point to you, and I think this is a calling for all that are listening, whether in the market or not. Mary and I, my wife, we got very involved in different types of food banks. And one of the things we hear across from all areas that we know of, at least here in the tri-state area, and I have a feeling it's probably universal through the United States, is the food bank people that run it tell me not only has the increase of usage gone up triple digit, but much of it comes from working class people. It's not just people that are down on their luck or on psychic relief program, but actually working class people more and more are having an inability. And this was all before what's now happened with food shortages. Just look what's happening in Peru and other countries where people have gotten seen costs go so high that they're literally looting to get food. So I just think, again, these are issues that don't have an easy solution and not a short-term solution. And it's one of the reasons I feel God gave me the gift to take caution at an extreme and do what I did. And now, unfortunately, if you remember me saying to you, people would say to me, and I know you said to me off air, Pete, I feel you're right, but I really pray to God, I hope you're wrong. I hope I can come on someday and say there was, these miracles and turnarounds and all. But right now, I don't have anything to base that on.
Yeah, it's so true. Because I said, you sound so on point, but part of me is hoping you are so off point that you are so wrong on these issues. So we'll see what happens. I'll tell you what, let me open the phones too. If you want to join us, Peter Grandage will be with us. The number here is 888-914-9149. You can join the conversation, pull up a chair, ask your question, share your view. It's always good to hear from you. So 888-914-9149. Also, I want to have Peter share some of his story. We've talked about everything from tithing with Peter to finance to... He shared a story in the past many years ago, but my producer Maggie was saying, I'm not really familiar with it. So if you don't know Peter's background, you don't know his journey, we'll get you plugged into that as well. But I'll take a few calls first. 888-914-9149. We're back with that and more right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, I hope you're having a great day. I am. Love hanging out with you. I got a few minutes left of you today, maybe about 40 or so, and I will take your calls. If you want to pull up a chair, join the conversation, love having you. 888-914-9149. I asked Peter Grandage to stop by, the former Wall Street whiz kid, as he likes to call himself. He's going to share his story coming up in a minute. But before I do that, let's grab a few of your calls. And Peter, let's do that now. A number of people want to tap into your wisdom here. And we'll start in Helena, Montana first. Emily is joining us. Hi, Emily. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Peter. Thanks for taking my call. Oh my gosh, it's so exciting to be on here.
Great to have you.
I've never called before. So,
good to have you.
So, Peter, I'm a mom. I have a one-year-old. I work part-time, and my husband works full-time. And when you say the word recession, that sounds a little scary. I don't know if I really remember the Great Recession. I can't say I was fortunate enough to maybe not be affected by it, but I was hoping you could tell us what you think that might look like, and if so, what I can do to prepare and protect my family.
Well, the first and most important thing is, and it's all part of in the story, is that we have to remember the foundation that the good Lord gave us in the best financial manual out there, and that's the Holy Bible. And so we are to expect tough times. That this vision that Wall Street and Madison Avenue came, that it's simply a matter of putting some money to them and you live happily ever after. Whether there's a recession or not, it shouldn't change how we approach in our prayer life and how we approach everyday life. And now, one of the things I would tell you is to take a look at exactly how you are and are you truly living a less is more life. Now, someone that once viewed money as God, I can tell you that there is always, almost always, a way to prune ourselves, to try to understand that we may not need everything that we have to have. It will certainly be easier in an environment where inflation will be high and there won't be as much demand at the beginning to be able to get higher wages, that you can make sure that you have a certain amount of money saved that could, if someone loses their job or things of that nature. There are a whole host of things, but I honestly believe this, and of course it's not something that's heard in the regular financial networks, but I really believe if you have a prayerful life and you really are living the life as a good Catholic Christian, God will see us through this. It may not be easy. It may not be in the way we would have liked it to be, but no matter what comes. So I don't think there's a cause to hide behind your couch tonight and pray to God it flies over you. Just try to be, if there's possibly, more prudent going forward, because things are going to be tougher than they've been. And I think if you take that attitude, everything else will work out for yourself.
That sounds great. Good to have you, Emily.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you
so
for
much.
Calling.
Yeah,
so
thanks.
Grateful for it. We'll go to Salt Lake City, Utah next. Allison's waiting to join us. Good afternoon. Allison, how you doing?
Oh, hi. Good. Hey. I'm so good. Thank you for listening to my question, and I know you'll have some direction. Interestingly, I just got in the car and listened, and I didn't realize you guys, this is religious based, which is wonderful, because I'll preface real quick with my question that there has been a lot of prayer and thought, because I'm very religious, in our decision. We're selling the house, and the question was to God, is it time to sell the house? Because we thought about it a year ago, and our value of our house went up exponentially. So we feel like it's time, but we're now going to move kind of off the grid and rent. And I'm a little nervous about that. And how long do you think we wait? My husband's a little bit in the real estate business and says it's going to crash. And this is the time, but we're nervous and we don't know what the time frame really is. And I know you said God only knows that, but if you have any more insight about,
I'm going to let Peter respond to you. Let me just first of all say thank you for joining us and set this to your radio dial, okay? We're on every day, and I think you're going to find a lot of value from it.
Yeah.
Peter, I know you're not, you know, your forte is not necessarily real estate, but give her the best advice you can.
Well, you don't have to be, and a husband, I don't know if crash, but we cannot continue to go up in the percentages as real estate has. And I'm afraid people have been getting more leverage to try to take advantage of those gains. It's unsustainable. There's no known economic argument that can sustain another few years of going up in the way we did. The problem is that if it does start to peter out, so to speak, or start to roll over, there isn't a lot of other things that look well that can underlie given it support. So If you said to me, I'll give you, let's take it right to home. My daughter, who is thinking about getting married and started talking about, well, should we get a house now? Is my advice to her is the insanity of prices just demands that you forestall doing that. Mm-hmm. And people who aren't old enough can recall, and maybe her husband had been in other real estate markets at peak. When they do peak and they come down, some people took several years, if not a decade or more, to even see the price again, let alone the lost opportunity cost of that money that they didn't have to use in other ways. So my best guess would be is that if you had to pick one or the other, the chances are that the market will work its way lower because of all these other things that are going to happen than continuing unsustainable in the percentage way that it's been increasing.
Okay. All right, Allison, I hope that helps.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, it does. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. It's a tough situation, Peter, because I've got friends that are moving. People are putting their homes up for sale. They want to get the equity out now because the prices of homes are higher than they've ever been. I mean, it's just gone through the roof. Interest rates have been so low. I mean, whoever thought you'd get a 2.5% or a 3% mortgage at some point in time? And now, I think this past week, a 30-year fix went over 5%. So they're back on the climb, and I think they're going to continue to go up. That might make some homes, you know, less affordable. So I do think we're going to see a leveling off, perhaps a decrease in terms of sales volumes. The question is, you know, is renting the option. There's a lot of expenses with that too, because you got storage for all your possessions and a whole litany of other things to deal with.
There is one thing in the real estate that I think we could pretty well count on. I think the next generation is not so much into the big 5,000 square foot, 6,000 square foot homes. Yeah. I think homes are likely, the more demand will be for not as big homes. So if I had a bigger home and I had a chance to downsize, I think this would be an excellent time to do that. You know, you talked about a gentleman that once visited you and he brought up me and you brought up that story. He's actually come, especially since my best friend died, he's been called out of the bullpen to replace my friend. He's got a lot of big shoes to fill, but he did that. He was a man that had a very big home. He had other real estate and all. He kind of bought into what I envisioned, and he's dramatically downsized. And just ironically today, he said to me, Pete, the best thing of it all is not all the dollar savings and all, but the peace and tranquility that's come from that, that I'm not really concerned, and we're more happier in this home that's half the size that we're in and than we were before. So there's always, and that's why I always talk to you about, you know, I've always been a negative about debt, because God is so negative about debt. There isn't any scripture where debt is used in a positive way. And people that get debt-free or lower their debt, they always talk about a tranquility that they didn't experience before. So I would answer, if the lady's still listening, is if what she does lessens the risk of losing capital and lessens their cost to live, and yet they have dwelling and food on the table and all, then I think that's the godly answer. I think that's what God is calling us to do.
That's such good advice. Mark in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, thank you for joining us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I want to get Peter's take on just sort of the market itself. And with COVID, there have been a lot of more new retail investors over the last couple of years, and people start on social media, start looking into things, turning over rocks and finding all kinds of like corruption kind of issues in the market with naked short selling and payment for order flow and all kinds of stuff that's kind of being uncovered now. And I'm just kind of curious if he sees any changes coming down the pike, or is it just going to be sort of status quo until something major happens in the market?
So the market has changed dramatically. I'm in my 39th year. And so when I started, 90% of the average trading was done by retail investors. Retail investors used the stock market for what it was originally created for, to get part ownership in businesses. And those businesses primarily depended on how our economy did and so forth and so on. That's long gone. It's a dinosaur. Even when you turn on one of those financial networks and see the New York Stock Exchange, that might as well be a museum, because that isn't where most of the trading is happening. Now, over half of all money that's in the market is in passive funds, which means it's in funds that are not being actively managed, which means they're basically just trying to track a particular index or an indice or a group, versus a manager deciding, let me buy this stock, sell this stock, et cetera. And of that other half that still exists, about 80% of it is being used by people that are either trading simply because of headline news and computers that are programmed to buy or sell based on words or stories. And the others are in very sophisticated intertwined with stocks and options and futures and things of that nature. And I've always tried to point back, and Drew, you remember when I was getting this bearish, I kept talking about, do you remember the movie 2001 Space Odyssey, which is very old now, because it was the time when we were fearful that computers could eventually take over, as it did in the movie. Well, the problem is that it was working while the market was going up and all these computers kicked in and the market went back up. But now that the market is rolling over, the big $64,000 question for 2022 and beyond is that money, all that money that's in those passive funds, if and when those funds start to actually see selling versus buying, the managers aren't allowed to make a decision, go, no, I really think this group or that, we're going to hold on and what have you. They have no choice. So selling can beget selling, and that's where I'm afraid that we're going to get to sometime, you know, in the, 6 months, 12 months, whatever. It may accelerate because of the political concerns that I have. But there are a whole host of reasons. The gentleman is right that this has been a market that really was risen not only on monetary heroin by a false facade that the Federal Reserve was providing, but a lot of other issues. Biggest one, and this is where I get the most nasty emails, Drew, but I'll say it here, and that is over two-thirds of people giving financial advice now have only been doing it since the last financial crisis. I'm afraid the inexperience that most, or certainly the majority of advisors have these days, of living really in only a one-way street. I like to use this. It sounds corny, but I think it's the perfect example, Drew. I remember the first time when I was in driver's ed and they took us to a traffic circle. I went into total panic because I had just learned to drive one way straight. And suddenly I had to look for traffic coming from different directions and going in different directions. And that's what I'm afraid is happening to the professional community now, who's only grown up and used to a way of a market going one way. And listen, these internet 22-year-old gurus, you know, that were born out of COVID and suddenly, you know, they're getting all this media attention. And like I said, they might have been out of high school for 3 or 4 years. Realistically, the toughest mathematical fight they've ever had was in algebra class just a few years ago. They haven't been in the trenches yet when things get, you know, they're not as easy as buy low and sell high. And I just think when you take all these things together, Drew, and the more you look at it, just the more I feel it's just better to be a live chicken versus a dead duck.
Yeah, that's well said. Hey, Mark, thank you. I hope that helped.
Thanks very much, yeah.
No, you got it. Appreciate the call. Charles is waiting in Kansas City, Missouri. He's got a question for you, too. Hi, Charles. Good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. Yeah, I have a question about the world reserve currency status of the U.S. dollar.
Good question.
Based on the recent sanctions that we've done against Russia and other countries that we don't agree with, I mean, we froze $200 billion in central bank reserves for Russia, and now China is saying they might dump their dollars because they can no longer count on them not being frozen by the U.S. government, that we might lose our world reserve currency status, and that would result in a lot of inflation.
It's such a great question, and Peter, I want you to stand up on that, because I saw a whole piece on it, and he brings up a great point. I'm concerned, you know, and I don't blame, let's say, Russia or China or someone else who sees the power that the West has because of the dollar being the world currency there to leverage that. What's the other option? I mean, how likely is that? How unlikely is that? What do you see happening in the future?
The end of the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency was in the cards. I told you I felt we were going to see that in my lifetime. What has happened in recent weeks has greatly accelerated it to the point that we're already seeing now, and we've seen it actually happen, where countries are trading not using the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency. In fact, China is, if it hasn't already, is likely to use its own currency to pay Russia for the purchases of oil and what have you and all. And as I've always told you, and that's why I told you why I liked gold so much and why I plowed so much money into it in the last couple of years, is that central banks continue to be aggressive buyers. And we saw one of the reasons why it paid for them to do it, because by what Russia was able to do, tying its gold to its ruble, was literally brought the ruble back from death. And I think we're going to see more of that. So I guess my long-winded response to this gentleman is the U.S. dollar's reserve currency's days or number, it's certainly, in my view, I should say, it's been accelerated because of what's happening. And politically, because of what I think is going to accelerate here in the U.S., it's probably going to even move faster to where it could literally happen in the next 1 to 3 years.
Well, I hope you're wrong, Peter, definitely on that point.
Charles, well, your wife always hopes I'm wrong, too. So
that's true. Hey, Charles, thank you for calling and asking. I think it's an important question and one that I'm going to continue to monitor. I hate to see that happen. My guest today, Peter Grandage. He's known as the former Wall Street whiz kid, made millions on the market, lost millions, made millions again, lost it, and has had a profound encounter with God and is using his 39 years on Wall Street now to help others and to approach finance through a Christian, through a spiritual type of lens, and it's good to have him with us. Let's go back to the phones. We'll grab another call or two for you, Peter. We'll go to Janice. I don't know if you can answer all these type of questions, but I'll throw a few of them in front of you. She's in Omaha, Nebraska. Janice, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I want to say how much I appreciate Relevant Radio. I feel like it's one place I can trust the news. There aren't many places like that.
Amen to that.
But my question is, I am 80 years old, and I am comfortable financially, but it worries me when you say a food shortage is possibly coming up. What should we be investing in?
Well, I don't want to say that I expect that no one is going to be able to feed themselves. What we do know is that the reserves that we live on about a 90-day food supply reserve in the world, and that has greatly dwindled now because of the inability for things like wheat and corn to only be delivered, but then the concern of the ability of there to be planted and all. And without that, you can just look now to a country like Peru that is going through just a series of riots in cities because they're unable to sustain any worthiness of food prices. They're just going through the roof where people can't literally afford them. Whether or not that's going to happen in the United States, I don't know. It'd be foolish to even speculate on that. But it is concerning enough, especially when people who aren't as well off and that live paycheck to paycheck, which is almost 40% of Americans, are how are they going to be able to handle it, and who are they going to expect then to help them handle it? And, you know, they'll look to the government. So I think part of the things that is likely to happen here is that there will be more taxation towards people who still have something in order to help support the people who don't. So one of the things I've always told people is it's okay, you should want to pay your fair taxes. God teaches us to pay what's due. But if there's an ability to lower or delay or, in a sense, not have to pay taxes legally, then you need to seek those things out. And those areas are greatly dwindling. In fact, the only real area that's left is the insurance world, where we can pass on money and not have it be taxed. And I suspect within 5 or 10 years, the government's going to have to start looking at that because too much money passes from one generation to another, and they are running out of areas where they can keep getting money from people. So I wouldn't panic over it. Like you said, you know, your age and you're okay, but I also think that it's not going to be the easiest thing for a good part of Americans to get food in the same way as it was maybe 10 or 20 years ago.
All right, Janice, don't be afraid. Don't fear, okay?
Well, yeah, we're not supposed to fear,
I'm not
Drew,
afraid. I just want to be careful.
All right, good. No, I appreciate it. Peter,
let me just say, when I talk this way, please, it's not to generate fear. It's just trying to be realistic. Mm-hmm. But I don't have fear in this because maybe because I'm 66, maybe I didn't say this when I was 26, but this isn't what it's all about. You know, I always tell you, and if we run out of time and I don't get to share, please, folks, and you know this, you've watched it, there is a video by a Pastor Chan. He's a Protestant pastor, and it's called The Rope.
That's awesome.
And the rope changed my life. That was the final thing that solidified, and I believe there's a calling. And for everybody tonight or tomorrow or over the weekend before we get into the Holy Week, just watch The Rope and understand about the red part, and I don't want to give it away and all. You'll understand why, despite all this negative outlook, I'm not fearful.
Yeah. You know, we'll link over to it. I'll find that video. Peter, I saw it too. And when I watched that, the perspective that pastor gives on life and eternity and what we value, you're right, everybody should see it. It's such a beautiful illustration and puts it into perfect perspective. In fact, Maggie's going to put it up on Twitter, so you can go to @DrewMarianiShow, and you can watch it. That's our Twitter handle, or go, you know, check me out @DrewMariani as well. I'll try to get it up there too.
And tell her just the original. When there's, it says Pastor Chan, the original, The Rope. It's about 4.5 minutes. That's the best one to use. That's on YouTube.
All right, Mags, you hear that? You got it, right? All right, she's got it. I'll tell you what, let me take another short break and then we'll come back. We'll grab a few more calls. And Janice, thank you for your call. I'm grateful for the kind words and I'm glad that you are comfortable and, you're not fearing, because we're not to fear. We're in God's hands through all this. I don't know what the future holds, and neither do you. This could be our last day. It could be my last day, and I do not know the day or the hour, but let's live a life with faith and trust. Let's pray for conversion, and let's pray that these nations and those who govern us make good and well informed decisions. All right, my guest, Peter Grandage. When we come back, I'll grab a few more calls. I don't know how much time we're going to have for a story. I want to give that justice. So if you don't get it today, we'll get him next time he's on to do that. But just a few minutes left. The number here, 888-914-9149. And we'll be back right after this. Stay with us.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Your Life Connected, the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thank you again for taking time out to join me. If you're just getting plugged in, I'm talking today with Peter Grandage. Actually, I have his book right in front of me here. He'd written it a while ago. I endorsed it. I can't tell you how many endorsements he has on this book. A lot of very high-profile names are on it. And he tells his story. It's called Confessions of a Former Wall Street Whiz Kid. And he's got a great tale to tell. I know many of you may be hanging on to hear his story, so I want to give Peter the opportunity to at least do that if we have time afterwards. Maybe I'll grab another call or two. But Peter, for those who've been listening to you for a while or those who might be new to the show and don't know your background or story, let me give you the opportunity to share that.
Sure. Well, first of all, they could read the book online. I used to be able to go through Relevant Radio to see it. I'm not certain on that, but if you can't get it there, if you just go to my website, petergrandage.com, the book can be read online for free. You don't even have to order it. But the story is fairly simple. Born to a non-practicing Jewish mom and Catholic father, I was baptized as a child, and my mother talked to my dad about raising me Jewish. He said no, and that was the last I would even know of or hear about God until I would meet my future wife at age 23 in 1979, who was born and raised in Ireland, even though I met her in the Bronx, New York. Now, it's interesting, the music you just played, because I was known as Disco Pete. I know that's hard to believe, but it was the chorus imitation of John Travolta from Saturday Night Fever, and that's hilarious. What I lived for. And I didn't even finish high school, but I met my wife, and I got a job as a warehouse manager. And my father-in-law gave us the last generation in Ireland to do it, a little diary, which is, money, and my God, security guard, played the market. He started teaching me about it, and I turned a small sum into a fairly large sum, only to lose it through a penny stockbroker. And in 1983, I started an investors club. A gentleman showed up. He owned a brokerage firm, heard me speak, told me I was in the wrong business. And despite everything my wife had to say about it, because I had a pretty good job at the time, I became a stockbroker in 1984. At least that's what we called ourselves back then. And within 2-3 months, Drew, I needed out. I couldn't cold call. In fact, if it was me, telemarketers, none of us would ever get bad calls, because the first person that hung up, I was done for the day. So I wanted to quit the business. But the guy I worked for wrote a newsletter and said, you're very analytical for a young man. Why don't you put your thoughts down and start a newsletter? And I did. And by 1987, just less than 3 years being in the business, I found myself head of investment strategy for a New York Stock Exchange member firm. And I was made a forecast in August of 87 of a stock market crash. And ironically, it wasn't the forecast that got me the attention, but the fact that the firm wanted me to retract it or resign, which I didn't. And then October 19, 1987, we had a stock market crash. And the next day I said, in 2 years, everything will be hunky-dory. And I'm very making it very short to try to tell the whole story. And that elevated me to a national prominence. Before long into the early 90s, I'm managing 4 hedge funds, a mutual fund that bared my name. In the meantime, I was turning the 10 Commandments into the 10 Suggestions. And I literally, at age 39, reached what many would have said back then was the American dream, millions of dollars. I left the money management business to get full-time into an area I became an expert in, metals. I bought a huge home. I bought 5 racehorses, 2 race cars, and then I did the worst thing in the world. I took up a terrible male addiction called golf. Yes. And in the height of my arrogance, before the first caving of my finances, my wife said I played for a few days and I was going out again. And she said, are you playing golf again? And I said, I plan on playing golf every day for the rest of my life. And within 2 years, I would suffer the first two very bad battles of depression, panic attacks, anxiety, hospitalization, and a large loss of capital, to the point where I sold the big home, the race cars, the race horses, but I kept the golf clubs, Drew, just so you know. And I downsized dramatically, and I would meet this man who would become my best friend, who became a full-time Catholic lay evangelist. And my Catholic faith came more than C&E. It came more than Christmas and Easter. And I dwelled into it. And before long, I met a man who played on the New York Giants, and he said that God had sent him for me to start a financial firm for Christian athletes. And as a New York Jet fan, I said to Lee Rousson, that can't be possible because I used to root for you to drop the ball and die. Wow. But as a Jet fan, I joined up with a Giant fan, and within a year I was doing Bible study in chapel because I met the chaplain for the New York Giants and Yankees. And that's how the sports business grew. And in the interim, I got more into my faith, but I didn't get full into it. I still fell back into some comfort areas. But one of the biggest things that happened, Drew, and we've talked about this, and I've never really got a chance to tell you this, but when I went through that first loss, and I mean it was a big loss, when you go from seven figures to less than almost six figures, wow, you've changed a lot. You can't live your life the way you did. But I made a decision to tithe to my friend's ministry at the time, which was fledging. And it was a substantial, and it made me, by giving that money to the ministry, it didn't allow me to stay where I wanted to stay. And I went from a big home to a little condo. I went from Lincoln cars to leasing a Grand Am. Everything downsized, and part of it was because I made this donation. And so when I've talked to you over the years, I've never had a chance even to tell you that privately. That's why I'm such a big believer in tithing, because when I look back, that's where my life really started to change. And I became a great tither, and not tithing just with dollars, but in my time and energy and all. And I always tell people and urge everybody listening, especially like the people that call and tell you they love Relevant Radio. Well, Relevant Radio doesn't run on money from miners from heaven. It needs the support of its listeners. So I can tell you that if you want to tithe, it's a wonderful gift that God gives us that he always, always, as he tells us in Malachi, pays back. Relevant Radio should be one of the places. So let me at least say that since you gave me this chance to talk. So now I'm working with the New York Giants. I become a Giant fan. I'm doing Bible study. I'm doing chapel. I'm meeting athletes. They're coming clients. And in 2008, I fall off the cliff. This time, no loss of finances, no love loss, nothing of illness or anything. And I'm literally hospitalized because I want to die. I have an attitude. People told me that they were afraid that if left alone, I would kill myself. Wow. And things that happen, and it's in the book, that happened during the hospitalization, and that can only be God-inspired and God-led, really was the washing out, the final letting go of, you know, really making that commitment. And from that point on, faith tied more and more into my work. It led to me having to leave sports because of a couple of years ago with the NFL and some other leagues decided to do and tie in itself to social and political movements that directly contradict everything that we're taught as Catholics and Christians. And I had to walk away from a very good business, a way of I thought was enjoying life, and it was a financial hit. But those are the things that happened, and we still get far less people that might be interested. You know, part of my talks is that one of the things we're facing is spiritual warfare, and then I talk about looking at the Bible for financial information, and half of America doesn't even believe in God. So I shut off more people than impossible if I went a different route in my finances. But listen, let me just close on this, Drew, and you know this, and many people that have read the Bible, you know, and if you haven't in a while, it's time that you do again. The second most talked about topic in the whole book is about matters of finance and all. Yeah. Half the parables about it. There's more talk about our financial world and our life and how we should live than there is about heaven or hell. So if you haven't done it in a while or never did it, it's time that you look at it just as a financial resource, if nothing else. But so it's really become an important thing, and it's one of the reasons I think the good Lord has allowed me to, and the gift that Relevant Radio has given me, to be able to say this, because realistically, most other places wouldn't want you to say it or allow you to say it. And that's what I'm most grateful for, Drew, for you and everybody, your entire staff, the people that run Relevant Radio and all, because I get the emails, I get them for years now from people that say what a difference it was to know that. And then after hearing it 8 or 9 years ago, whether or not they became clients, they made the changes and things that we spoke about on how to do things. And they tell me if they didn't hear the show, it wouldn't have happened. And I always say the same thing. Well, make sure you send the donation to keep Relevant Radio going.
Well, that's beautifully said. Peter, thank you for your kind words. And again, if you want to read his whole story, he gave you the thumbnail of it. It's a great story called Confessions of a Former Wall Street Whiz Kid. You can go to Peter Grandich's website. It's petergrandich.com. That's G-R-A-N-D-I-C-H. I think we do have it at Relevant somewhere. I don't remember either, Peter, whether it's Whiz Kid you do the search for or what you put up.
I think it's
up,
Peter, but you could put it up when you find it on your Twitter. Because just link them. Let them read it. You don't need to order the book from Amazon. If you want it, that's fine. But you can read it online and enjoy it that way.
Well, we're grateful for you. We only have a couple minutes left. A great call coming out of Fond du Lac. Kind of ties in what you're talking about in terms of what Scripture has to say. He's got a question for you about finance and Scripture. Peter, good afternoon.
Yes, where is the financial advice in the Bible? Is it more or less in the Old Testament somehow? Or
It's scattered between the both. I mean, you know, you can look at 1 Timothy, you know, people's always, you know, the old people say, oh, well, the love of money, love of money is root all evil. You know, there are a whole host of different areas to talk about. I think one of the things that I've always tell people is if you really want to get serious about it, because I did about 15 years ago, is to read about King Solomon. I mean, King Solomon today would be worth equal to 1,000 Warren Buffetts.
Wow.
And what's really interesting about that is he was very, very high on professional counsel. He didn't do it all himself. He didn't think he knew everything. He surrounded himself in different areas of people of expertise, and that's kind of what I've done. I don't think I've ever been brilliant enough to be on my own, but I've soaked in enough, and I've identified who seemingly are the people to listen to, and with all that combination. So King Solomon's another good person to look up to, even though the end of his life isn't great, but certainly how he got to where he got to has some great teachings in it.
It's such good advice, Peter. You know, when I first started my professional career, and it wasn't in radio, somebody once said the same thing to me. You know, he said, quality begets quality, you know, and surround yourself with people who know more than you, you know, who are good in their areas of expertise. So, you know, we hired the best film crews, we have best editors, you know, the best music composers when I was doing work like that. And in radio, the same thing. I mean, my team here that supports me is just off the charts. And of course, we've got great guests like you as well. Book of Proverbs, of course, has a lot of financial advice. Christ's parables. You can go throughout the Scriptures, as you point out, Peter. They're rich with advice regarding finances and the problems with too much attachment to it. Peter, I got to leave it right there. I hope you have a great weekend. I'm very grateful for your time and for your advice. I look forward to the next time we can catch up.
Thank you, Drew, and thank you to your entire staff in Relevant Radio. And again, to anyone that's listening, and I know many of you because you write to me and all, find the time, especially as we go into Holy Week, to show off the gratefulness for Relevant Radio and keep Relevant Radio alive.
I appreciate that, Peter. Thank you so much. That's Peter Grandich. If you missed any of the conversation, you can go back to the archives as well. Go to our podcast, relevantradio.com. Keyword is the Drew Mariani Show, or where podcasts can be found. And of course, you can listen to this or any of the conversation we had today. We had a wonderful, wonderful day. I'm out of time for the day. It's always a bummer. I love hanging out with you. I wish I had 3 more hours to hang out. I hope you have a beautiful weekend. Enjoy it. Get some rest. It's Palm Sunday, right? What a great day. And then we begin one of the most solemn and holiest weeks of the year. It's Holy Week, and I'll give you a special look at that next week. To our Pasch and Cross, count on my deepest prayers. I'd appreciate yours. Until then, God bless you.